All right. Well, after probably 6 months of not having a guest, of course, it would not come without its technical difficulties in trying to bring one back on. But I appreciate him bearing with me through this and everything, and would love to introduce Jonathan as our guest this week. Jonathan, welcome into the podcast.
Thank you. Well, thanks for having me on, Trent. And, you know, it's not a problem at all. I'm glad we were able to make this happen. And whether it's over Zoom or just over a call, we're still doing it. So that's what matters.
Welcome. Morning, afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listening so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks. While you sit back, relax, have a whiskey and coast. Here we go with the Trent Speak podcast. Bring in your insight or bring in a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Podskaland.
Excited to dive in with Jonathan here in a few moments, but really just wanted to pop in and say, go blue, baby. Man, we got ourselves a big football game tonight, and you can bet your ass I'll be plopped in front of the TV while I work all day, knowing that there will be coverage all day today on ESPN for tonight's college championship football playoff game. I don't know why I blanked there on what I was trying to say. But just like I said in the opening, of course, I can't thank Jonathan enough for working through those technical difficulties with me. It was great that we were able to have this conversation. And before we dive in, as always, if you would like to be a guest on the podcast, please reach out to me, TrentSpeaks@gmail.com, or you can find me, Trent Speaks, on Instagram. I also do have the Facebook page as well. Not checking that as often. I have actually thought about getting rid of the Facebook page, but we'll see kind of where things continue to develop. But I do also want to say, you know, I'm not really sure what's going on with my laptop. I'm having some issues with video calls, which is why we ran into this issue here. And we swapped back to the phone and things worked out. But without further ado, enjoy, and we'll talk to you next week. Jonathan, I know that we were talking a little bit before today through email and everything. And in talking, one of the things that you and I talked a lot about and something that I also had kind of picked up on was really you have this big theme of creativity. You seem to really enjoy being able to, you know, flex that creative muscle. I guess, where did all of that start? And is that accurate? I guess, has creativity always been a breath of life for you? Or is that just something that kind of came about one day?
No, yeah, that, I would say that it all kind of started in middle school. I was getting ready to go into sixth grade and trying to figure out what electives I wanted to do. And I remember wanting to do home ec, actually, and because I thought that I wanted more practical life skills. But I have an older brother, and he was in band. And my parents said, no, you're going to do band for a year. And if you really don't like it, you can get out of it at that point. But we want you to do this. And so after a little bit of hesitation, I jumped in. And since then, I had the bug. I really defined myself as a musician for a long period of my life, pretty much from middle school all the way through college. And so I've always had this creative itch, and I pigeonholed myself a little bit and thought that I can only be defined by one thing. And it wasn't really until the last couple of years that I realized that you can be a creative person, and that can be a large umbrella. And I also have an analytical side and more of like a numbers-based side of my personality that needs to get fed as well. And so for me, it's been about finding that balance between the two and getting onto a career path where I can be fulfilled both creatively and analytically.
And you had mentioned, you know, in band, it kind of just caught on. Was there something in particular or defining moment for you that really made you want to stick with it?
I think it was the community. That was the first big thing. Because, you know, when you're a middle school band, you're not playing great. It doesn't sound professional by any means, but it was the camaraderie that I found with the fellow students, with band directors, and this ability to create something with a group of people that was bigger than the sum of its parts. And that kind of theme really carried me through high school, through college, and even into my adult career. Just that experience of having the shared bond with other people and, you know, experiencing a high school band camp together and practicing out in the rain, and really just having these shared experiences that really stick with you for years at a time. We got great experiences to play some fun music. And so I played trombone through most of my life, and so really connecting with the fellow trombone players in the various groups I was in was a big part of it, and feeling like you had this group of like-minded people that somehow everybody in their own instrument group has the same kind of personality, which is just a weird thing in and of itself. But just finding your people, your tribe, really.
And earlier you had mentioned, you know, that's kind of that creativity piece has really carried into today for you as an adult. How has finding your tribe when you were younger carried into today?
You know, when you're younger, you're kind of placed into various groups. You don't really have a lot of say over your path in life. It's whatever your parents want you to do or whatever you can do within your particular structure. But in my adult career, this part of my life, it's about recognizing that is an important thing for me, finding that kind of community and being a part of things that kind of tick these boxes. And so being able to seek out those types of experiences. So like when I was in college, I was a part of Phi Mu Alpha. It's a music fraternity. And even now, after teaching myself graphic design for the last few years, being a part of different Facebook groups, being a part of even just what I would consider community, being like listening to podcasts where you are a part of that kind of community, where you're not necessarily an active member, but you're actively and routinely listening to the same type of people, and you're having this experience with other people across the country and across the world even. So really kind of finding those things for yourself that you can choose to be a part of, that give you that somewhat of a sense of a collaborative experience. That's definitely been big for me.
I can definitely relate to that. And I've talked a few times about some of the different podcasts that I listen to as well, but it is really almost like that person or that group is letting you in. And so it's almost this, in a way, it's almost this vulnerability where you start to feel some of that connection, some of that attachment.
Yeah, it's weird when you listen to a podcast for so long. Like I listen to The Weekly Planet, which is this entertainment kind of breakdown, news breakdown podcast, and Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend and Smartless, and it's weird. You almost feel like you are in the room with them when you're listening long enough, and you start getting inside jokes, and it's just this weird kind of unique experience that I think really only exists in a podcast world.
And earlier you had mentioned graphic design. I know that's something you and I talked about previously too, that's something that you've taught yourself. And I know you just mentioned that. What was it about graphic design that you said, oh, I think I'm going to teach myself that?
It's crazy. I never thought that I was a visual kind of creative person. For God, what, 20 years of my life, I defined myself by being a musician and being creative in that kind of environment. I played a bunch of different instruments, did a lot of things in that realm, but I never really saw myself as a visual person. And so I started working at a company at the end of 2019 and kind of had the chance to take over and really create their social media kind of whole existence or identity, I should say. So their kind of visual identity online. And through that, I started kind of creating social media posts and putting that together. And I realized that digital marketing, social media management, graphic design, that was something that really interested me. And I had never had a chance to experience that before. So I reached out to my fraternity network and I said, hey, does anybody have experience in this that can kind of give me some pointers on where to go, how to get started in this? And I got connected with a friend of mine who I worked with very closely in college, and he was kind enough to let me kind of freelance with his digital marketing consulting or small business consulting company that he had. And he let me just run social media accounts for various local companies. And through that, I started working with Photoshop, trying to just manipulate images a little bit. And I thought, man, this is kind of ticking both boxes for me. I'm expressing myself creatively, and I'm also problem solving and having this analytical side of me, or this analytical itch scratched. And that just kind of naturally led into, these companies need a logo. This is really interesting how you develop this and how you create this in the process of that. So I started deep diving into how do you design a logo? What is the foundation of that? And the kind of boiling down of all of these big ideas that a company needs to communicate down into a simple image was just really interesting to me. And finding a way to creatively and analytically express that to achieve a business goal was just something that I had never had the chance to do before, but I found it really, really fulfilling and entertaining to a degree. So then that led to me kind of branching off on my own, and I just dedicated a ton of time to learn this and got connected with a teacher at a local school here who was able to kind of be a mentor to me to give me a specialized education that I wanted to pursue. It's been a very weird and unexpected progression, but I'm here today, and I've designed logos for the Chattanooga Zoo and different event graphics for them and companies across the country. And it's not a place in my life that I expected to be 5 years ago, but it's something that I am incredibly thankful for the people that have brought me here, and something that I'm really, truly enjoying.
Well, first off, congratulations, because that's absolutely amazing. And to be able to have free, like you said, I mean, that's not where you expected to be 5 years ago. And so to be able to look back to where you started, to where you are now, and having your work actually out in the public and for other people to see is absolutely incredible. So I want to applaud you for that. I did also pick up that you really used a lot of networking, both from your fraternity and reaching out to members of that, as well as, you know, just utilizing your local network. I had the opportunity to work with a career coach as a benefit through work. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is they had mentioned 80% of jobs are as a direct result of knowing someone. And I think that just speaks to what you were able to accomplish of, you know, being able to have that mentor and to work with that consulting business and everything. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And even to get in the job that I'm at, where I started kind of finding that that desire, I was in retail at a grocery store for 6 years. and really just started feeling like my soul was getting just, it was dying on the inside. And so I put my resume out on Indeed, and somebody from that, the one of the owners of the company reached out to me, found me, and brought me into the company. And so it's almost been like I've had a very passive seat in my career path in the last almost 5 years now. But it just has shown that that you always need to be grateful for the people that are around you and be open to the experiences that present themselves to you. And if I hadn't taken the leap to get out of something that was comfortable to try something new, then I wouldn't be here today, and I wouldn't be as creatively fulfilled. And just to mention his name as well, because I really do want to give a shout out to him, Michael Henry, if anybody knows him that's listening, is the guy that gave me that opportunity. So I'm not currently working with him, but he is definitely the reason why I had the chance to put my, or to test the waters in this career path in the first place. So I definitely owe that to him.
Have you always had like the little edge of being a risk taker? Is that something that was new for you, of really stepping outside of your comfort zone? Like, was that different for you?
It's definitely not something that I would have. It's not something that I would have done for a long time, because of the kind of the path that I was on for so long. I always felt comfortable, and I felt like I knew what my lane was in life and just in general. And then, so to kind of give some backstory for me. So I classically trained musician from middle school through college. I did my internship in college my junior year, and realized, oh man, this is not what I thought it was going to be. This is not fulfilling me. I get stressed out when I'm in this environment professionally. And it was that moment, that light switch moment of, this is a hobby, this is not a career, and that is okay. And so I spent the next year and a half trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I ended up not finishing college. I was just a couple classes away, but I was not great financially, kind of a situation of my own creation. And so I never ended up even getting a degree, but I had these experiences that I still fall back on even today. And so I went almost 10 years of not knowing what I wanted to define myself by and what I could see myself doing, just hopping from job to job and then sticking with that grocery store for a while. And I thought, man, well, maybe I can just be in management here. But then you don't get a consistent schedule. You have to work when they want you to work. You work where they want you to work. And so I needed that consistency, and I got married, and we wanted to start a family, but you can't do that when you're working all over the place. So being able to settle down, being able to plant my roots was really important in this next step. And it wasn't until I had something that I needed to risk for that I really wanted to take that step out and felt like, okay, well, regardless of what happens next, I can't have what I want until I do this. So if it had just been me, if I was still single, I probably would have just stayed where I was. But because I had my wife, because we wanted to start a family, I had enough of a reason to take a risk that I really stepped forward.
I heard you allude to it a little bit just now, but even earlier you had mentioned that when you were younger, you really defined yourself in music. How would you define yourself today?
I think it's important for people to know you don't have to have one specific label on how you see yourself. I think for the longest time I had to be a musician, and now my umbrella is bigger. I'm not just a graphic designer. I'm not just an office manager at this company. I'm not defined by my career. I'm defined by how it affects my being and how it isn't just this like intrinsic part of who I am. So I would say that I am a creative, but I am also a problem solver. The umbrella is more of about adjectives rather than nouns at this point.
I love that. I love that. It's a great visual picture too, the umbrella.
Mm-hmm. And I think that when you're young, you get asked all the time, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you're kind of the hole that you look through, the window that you look through starts off really small. And some people figure that out when they're young, and more power to them. And some people take a little bit longer to get where they want to be. And some people spend 20 years at a job and then their interests change and they still want to go somewhere else. So just because you feel one way when you're 18 or when you're 28 or when you're 58 doesn't mean that that has to be where you stay 5 years, 10 years from then. It's about what fulfills you, what you can, as you have a family, what can sustain your family. Because you also have, when you get to a certain point in life, you know, you have other responsibilities to consider. I would be happy just being able to try and take a risk in freelance graphic design full time, but I have other responsibilities. I have a kid, and so I'm trying to find a way to balance that part of my life with being able to financially provide with a full time job. So it's something that I'm a big proponent of now, is just find what interests you, determine if it's a hobby or if it's a career, and then be open to change in the future. And be open to saying, okay, this isn't how I need to define myself completely for the rest of my life, that this may be what it is right now, but I'm going to be open to what it could be 10, 20, 30 years from now.
Jonathan, I'd love to dive into some Trent Speaks questions here. So what is the most impactful moment or event that has shaped who you are today?
Okay, we're just going right for the big one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. They don't get easier, so.
I would say, and this isn't meant to sound cheesy by any means, but I would say meeting my wife. She has given me the courage to try new things, the solid foundation that you need to take risks off of. Because if I was still single and financially unstable, and she has made me smarter and wiser as a person. And if I didn't have that solid foundation under my feet, I wouldn't be able to take that next step and to try something new. So I would definitely say meeting her has been the most influential and substantial part of my life.
I'm over here smiling. That wasn't cheesy at all. I love it. What is it that you've learned about yourself along the way?
I would say that I can be okay. So I no longer say I can't do this, because professionally and personally, I've been through enough experiences over the last few years that I have proven to myself that I can pick up a task and a new skill and I can learn it. I have the determination, I have the desire, and just the momentum to try something new if it interests me. And there's basically, I believe that anybody can learn a new skill, given they do or they have four things. And we can kind of get more into that in a second too. But I no longer say I can't do that. I say I can't do that yet. And I think that one word is a big defining moment for me, or defining factor for me mentally.
Can you dive into those four things you were talking about?
Yeah. So, in learning graphic design and logo design, in learning these new skills that I've had to pick up professionally, I've started to kind of see a pattern. To me, learning a new skill is like learning a language. And I think that's the most relatable way for people to see it. But those four things that I have found are consistent from learning any new skill that I've picked up in my life. And tell me if you agree or if you disagree with these. But number one, you have to have passion. You have to care about what you're learning. You have to have a real, true interest in it to be able to devote the time and energy and make any sacrifices needed to learn a new skill. You have to immerse yourself in it. You can't just dabble in something and expect to be good at it. You can be okay, and you could probably remember a little bit about it, but you have to fully immerse yourself. And so, like, when you're learning a new language, they always say, go to the country, if you're able to, the best way to learn a language is to go to that country that speaks it and be around it 24/7. And so your brain starts to make that shift of, okay, I'm no longer in this environment. I am here, and I'm going to make these connections quicker because that's what I have to do. So finding podcasts, YouTube channels, books, anything that you can surround yourself with to learn that new skill. So for me, design, like Finding the Future, which is a podcast with Christo, has been one of the biggest things for me. YouTube channels, I'm a big fan of Satori Graphics, of Bring Your Own Laptop, and Dan from that channel. And then books. Basically for the last year, I have asked for nothing from my family but graphic design books. I have a whole Amazon list to back it up and two full bookshelves now, because my family and my community love to support me. Which leads me into my next one, which is community. You can do something alone, but it is way easier if you surround yourself with people that support you. And finding small communities, even if it's just a Facebook group of like-minded people, to expose yourself to new ideas, new ways of thinking, so that you're not just learning something through your own filter, which can be a little bit limiting because you have just your world and life experience, but finding it in ways that maybe you hadn't thought about learning something before, finding a unique perspective that makes something click with you that you maybe would not have been able to on your own. And also having these people that can hold you accountable. When I first started learning, I did a couple different 30-day or 50-day logo design challenges. And so having this external force saying, okay, today you're going to do this, tomorrow you're going to do this, it helps hold you accountable more so than just saying, okay, I want to do this or I want to do that, because then there's no real external, like I said, and I'm repeating myself a little bit, but there's no external force holding you accountable for your choices. And number four is consistency. You have to show up every day. It has to be in your mind every day. And the reason why I know I'm so passionate about graphic design is because when I'm driving down the road, I'm analyzing logos on the back of cars or up on billboards. I'm analyzing design that I see on posters or social media ads and figuring out, okay, this is why that looks good. This is why that doesn't look good. But it's always in the back of my mind because I'm so passionate about it, because I have immersed myself in it, and because I've surrounded myself with a community of people that encourage me, like my wife and my family, and because I show up every day and do something. I even if it's just an inch forward, I'm still pushing myself with that forward momentum to some degree. And you know, some days are going to be easier than others. Some days it's going to feel like you can't do anything. But if you strive to get one thing done, to build that momentum and keep that momentum up every day, and if you apply all four of these things, then I truly believe you can learn any skill at any stage in your life.
Also, yes, I do agree with all of those. And especially right when you said consistency, I was like, okay, good. It was in the top four, because consistency, after you had said immerse yourself and passion, consistency was the word that was coming to my mind too. So yeah, absolutely fire top four.
And it kind of related to consistency. One thing that really stuck out to me was reading about Jerry Seinfeld's joke writing strategy. So there's this Seinfeld strategy that you can look up online. But essentially what he does is that he's got a big wall calendar. It's somewhere where it's prominent in his home or he sees it every day. And his strategy is he has to write a joke, at least one, every single day. And when he gets done with that thing, he puts a red X up on the calendar. And so your only job at that point is to keep the chain going, because the more you build it up and the more progress you see visually, the more encouraging it's going to be. And you're going to feel that momentum every day. And so, like I said, your only job is to not break that chain. And if you do, don't miss it for more than one day. Because after 2 or 3 days, you lose that momentum, you lose that energy that you've built up, and it gets a lot harder to build that back up again.
Jonathan, what do you want people to take away when they listen back to this podcast?
I just want people to know that it's okay to, if you feel stuck or if you feel like something isn't right in your life, whether it be professionally or personally, that it's okay to explore other options. It's okay to ask questions about your place in life. And I wish that I had done that sooner, but I'm thankful that I did it. Looking back, you know, hindsight's 2020, but I'm thankful that things worked out the way they did, because I wouldn't be here where I am today. I wouldn't have my family. I wouldn't have all these experiences that have led me here. So I'm very thankful for that. And I look forward to the future. And you know, just a personal plug here, if you know of anybody that has any design needs, or if you know a company that needs a new logo, the name of my company is Botset Designs, BOTSET. So I am always interested in, you know, exploring and helping people bring their ideas to life. I would love to kind of connect with anybody that's interested.
Well, thank you for plugging myself. You got ahead of my last question for you, so I'm glad that you plugged yourself. And thank you for coming on the podcast and everything. It was great chatting with you. And I know that you listened to one of the episodes, and so you may or may not have caught this, but you get to do your own sign off. I think that it's fun that every guest signs themselves off, because it makes the podcast your own. So feel free to go ahead and put a bow on this for us.
All right. Well, sounds good. And thank you, Trent, for having me. This has been really fun talking with you. I've really enjoyed this. So thank you. You guys have been listening to Trent Speaks. My name is Jonathan Botset of Botset Designs. And listen to the next episode. This is a really good podcast. Keep it going.